Ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it. The one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is Pratt on Texas. Coming up, my friends, we are loaded up today. These Fridays that used to be slow are now some of our heaviest news days. Beautiful thing is our new format here allows us to go extra time, and we're going to. Our Lone Star story is the Texas Supreme Court backed Shelley Luther over the contempt of court ruling that put her in a Dallas jail. Remember, during the lockdowns, opening her salon, she didn't go to jail for that. She went to jail because the Democrat judge there issued a contempt of court ruling on her because he basically just didn't like her attitude and what she was saying. She wouldn't speak as he wanted her to speak. Well, the Supreme Court's agreed. A big batch of important news from the legislature, and there's some deadlines fast approaching that you need to understand so they don't fool you and tell you, oh, we did everything we could, but really use the system to kill bills important to you. We'll go extra on this on the legislative stack today. Fracking's recovering, but Texas oil and gas rig count was unchanged this week in the Baker Hughes report. ERCOT, that's right, the big in Texas grid. Well, its insurer has gone to court to sue to say they don't want to pay. It's a lesson for all of you who think your insurance companies, if it's a big enough deal, the first person they sue is you to get out of paying. They say what happened was not unforeseeable, wasn't an accident. We've got a lot of other news to get to today on Pratt on Texas. Just a note that tomorrow, the 10th of April, Saturday, is the anniversary of the terrible Tuesday where that horrible, wide, destructive tornado hit our friends in Wichita Falls, 10 April 1979. Today in Texas history, my friends, well, in 1554, that's right, when they were just getting here, three Spanish ships, the San Esteban, the Espiritu Santo, and the Santa Maria de Iquiar, left Mexico, headed for Spain. They wrecked off Padre Island. The San Andres survived the storm. Dozens of people drowned before reaching the shores of South Padre Island. And they weren't able to recover too much of the wreckage. That's a long time ago, but one of the earliest European people being on the shores of what is Texas. In 1947, for all of you, I just told you about the big tornado in Wichita Falls in 1979. For all you younger folks and some really lost half their mind weather people out there that have forgotten that there's nothing new in all this and you buy into all this climate change and, oh, it's more frequent and more severe. It's not. Not hurricanes, not tornadoes. Way back in 1947, 169 people were killed and 1,300 injured by a series of tornadoes in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas on this day. 1947, 169 people killed, 1,300 injured. And again, it was 1979 where the terrible Tuesday tornado hit Wichita Falls. By the way, this is also the date, 1965, that the Houston Astros played the Yankees at the Astrodome. First event held at the stadium, though. Wonder of the world. And it's also the day, 1972, I thought it was 71, but this says 72, that citizens of Lubbock voted to allow the sale of liquor in the city limits, liquor by the drink. They claim it was the largest dry city in the U.S. I don't know how you define that, because even in the 80s, places like Tulsa, Oklahoma didn't have liquor by the drink. North Dallas didn't have it in the 80s when I was doing business there. You had to have a club membership. But anyway, that was a big deal to a lot of people. All right, my friends. Of course, the big global news today, Prince Philip has died at 99. And the Duke of Edinburgh, the consort to Queen Elizabeth, longest serving consort to a monarch in British history. And he was a neat guy. I liked him. You know, you might want to know, he was a real World War II. He wasn't a dilettante out there. I mean, they were part of the Greek monarchy and very minor. They didn't have a lot of money. He spent a lot of his young life when he was a baby in an orange crate with cloth in it for a crib. Things were tough. And but he was mentioned in dispatches for bravery during the war from Cape Matapan and the invasion of Sicily. He saved his ship by quick thinking and was awarded for that. He really was focused on service, and that's what we love so much about Queen Elizabeth. It's not about the monarchy. It's about something that is lost from our society now, that service and duty trumps all, including personal convenience. And they've been more than 70 years married, and She said, Queen Elizabeth said on their golden wedding anniversary that their country owed her husband a greater debt than he would ever claim or we would ever know. And she called him her rock. He wanted a low-key funeral, and that's what he's going to get and be interred at Windsor Castle. The Duke didn't do praise. They were unique. I like this quote out of one of the official obituaries in the Telegraph. He and the Queen were unique in modern public life in not seeking the approbation, meaning the approval of the public, or caring much what people thought of them. They simply got on with the job and sometimes took wry satisfaction in questioning whether others were getting on with theirs. In other words, duty first. And he was kicked hard and often by the media. One thing you ought to know about him, he's done a lot of things. He's a true conservationist. They're trying to claim him as an original environmentalist. No, he's a conservationist in the classic sense. But he also did a lot of exploration on religion. He wrote A Question of Balance in 1982 in support of his contention that, quote, religious conviction is the strongest and probably the only factor in sustaining the dignity and integrity of the individual. This man was a lot more than what the popular shallow press has told you. In 2011, he won widespread support for his private remarks that somebody improperly made public about, quote, disgraceful and, quote, absolutely useless, end quote, wind farms, these big windmills. Rest in peace, Prince Philip. And I'll tell you, the 80-something page official obituary at the Telegraph is worth a weekend read. It is really worth the read. Suspect identified in the mass shooting in Bryan. This is where a guy went in to Kentmore Cabinets in Bryan yesterday and shot people. Larry Boland, 27, of Grimes County's who they've identified. They say one person was killed, five others shot Thursday afternoon there. DPS trooper was shot in Grimes County in connection to that shooting. And that trooper's in, I think, serious or bad condition. He was taken to hospital for surgery, but was stable last I checked. And taken to hospital in Bryan. And this happened about 2:30 in the afternoon. They say it was clearly targeted, the shootings from this guy used a handgun. Terrible thing there. It's why companies should never ban people from carrying their weapons, because the sign doesn't stop somebody who's there intent on committing murder, willing to die themselves or eventually die in prison or with the needle. Somebody's got to be able to pull a weapon out quickly from their person and defend human life. You're never going to stop the evil people. Who are willing, I mean, they could lock the doors in, drive pickups up and block the doors and light the place afire and burn you alive. That's an old method of killing people. You're just not going to, you need to at least allow people to be armed. Maybe they did at this place. We don't know, but it's, instead of trying to blame this on the gun, there are lots of ways of killing people. It's just better to be armed and prepared. Out of Killeen, a former KWTX reporting a former Killeen police officer accused of making unwanted sexual advances to a female victim is free on bond after he's now been charged with official oppression by a grand jury in Bell County, Edgar Diaz Casillas. Also, a San Antonio police officer has been charged with official oppression and assault bodily injury. This is reported by the Express News, and that's a grand jury indictment. Officer Marshall Shepard, 29, said repeatedly used his stun gun on a suspect who was resisting arrest after a traffic-related call, then struck the suspect multiple times in the face, and other things that out there in the news. A lot of other news of Texas, but we are just heavily dominated at this point in the legislative session, the 87th regular session, with the important news that we need to be paying attention to. I will get you those stories and much more. We'll get to our Lone Star story of the day. Shelley Luther getting a win at the Texas Supreme Court. It's sort of important to understand on what grounds she won. That's the most important thing. We'll get to all of that and more ahead on Pratt on Texas.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4tx.com. God bless you. God bless the unborn. And please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
I've been telling you for many years there is no better true Texan source for finely crafted custom jewelry than Thacker Jewelry. I love visiting the little factory in the old historic bank building in the little hamlet of Roaring Springs, Texas, off the Caprock, down near the Matador Ranch. They got a big store, though, on 82nd Street in Lubbock with everything you'll ever want to see. Learn all about custom jewelry from ThackerJewelry.com. Some of the finest people you'll ever meet and the most beautiful jewelry, too.
You've never been one to look back or tolerate excuses, and you won't start now. A new year is dawning, a fresh start, and together we'll do what only Texas can, lead the way for the world. So here's to the entrepreneurs and to 2021, the year of the comeback. Vista Bank, entrepreneurs banking entrepreneurs since 1912.
Listening to Brett should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my good friends. The windows are open in the True Texan studio. Heck, you might even hear some of the birds chirping. Beautiful weather on the high ground. Well, our Lone Star story of the day, Texas Supreme Court tosses Shelley Luther's contempt finding for refusing to close the salon. That actually wasn't. This is, again, bad journalism. Chuck Lindell at the Austin American Statesman gets it right, but the headline writer's wrong. She wasn't thrown in jail for reopening. She was thrown in jail because the judge wanted her to express something that wasn't on her conscience. In other words, before the court admit she was wrong, if I remember it right. They didn't really get into the details, but I believe that's what it was at the time. And I said, this is crazy. You can't compel speech. But the key things to know is it was a unanimous ruling in the Texas Supreme Court. They said the contempt finding was improper because it was based on a judge's temporary restraining order that was unclear on what conduct was prohibited. State District Judge Eric Moyet, this is a big lefty Democrat guy, well known in Dallas, not a very good judge apparently, quickly granted a restraining order requiring her salon, Salon a la Mode, to close at request of officials in Dallas. But Luther refused, leading to a contempt of court judgment on May 5th that included 7 days in jail and a $500 fine for every day the salon operated in violation of the order. After 2 days in jail, the Supreme Court intervened, ordering Luther freed on a no-money bond while its justices considered her challenge to the contempt finding. Today, the court issued its ruling. Moyet's order accused Luther of violating state, county, and city emergency regulations, but did not specify which rules were broken, nor did it specify which, quote, in-person services, end quote, were banned at Salon a la Mode, the court ruled. In addition, the order violated the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, which requires court orders to specify what action must be halted without forcing people to refer to other documents. Quote, Luther could not know without analyzing a multitude of regulations, state, county, and city emergency orders referenced in the temporary restraining order, plus the federal guidelines they referenced, what conduct was prohibited at any given time, Justice Rebecca Huddle wrote for the court. Well, it says that the response to Luther's jailing also prompted Governor Abbott to revise his earlier order. Remember, that's the two-way. Oh, it looked bad all of a sudden on Fox News, so he went in there and reversed the orders. That didn't stop Luther from becoming a leading critic of his response, proclaiming him a tyrant who needed to be defeated in the next GOP primary election. Well, all of that may be true, too. The problem is, I tell people, you don't let them in without a warrant. If somebody they arrest you, they have to tell you what the charges are. That's why you have an arraignment. This stuff has to be clear. And so many Americans are just giving up their liberties at every moment. And I remember that case pretty well, and I'm almost certain that the contempt of court charge was added at the end when he didn't like what she said, or she wouldn't apologize or admit that she was in the wrong or something like that. I remember that very clearly. Now, they did this on the technical grounds, and correctly so, that you can't do this without being specific. People have to know what law is it that they broke. You can't just go say, well, you know, all of this together. They're that's how liberals see everything. The totality of the situation. No. You either have rule by law or you don't. Besides, all these damn orders and stuff aren't provided for specifically in law either. And the governor himself's been an enemy of the rule of law in many ways. But that's our Lone Star story of the day. Shelley Luther winning that case at the Texas Supreme Court. Now, let's shift over to the big ERCOT story. I've used this with people several times. I once had a hard time explaining to a bunch of folks who weren't. It's a problem when you don't have a lot of life experience and maybe you're an employee or a professor or something like that, and you really don't know how it works. Trying to explain to them why all of the corporate stuff had to be in order and why we had to do things, and this was a jointly owned thing, explaining to them, as any good trial lawyer will sit and tell you, that, you know, if you have something like a brain injury or something where there's a lot of money, they're going to go after everybody. And, well, when somebody said, well, our insurance company, we've always had them for the car wrecks, they've always been good. Yeah, let me tell you, you're getting serious money, the first person the insurance company investigates is not the other side. They investigate you, the insured. And if you've done things that are illegal, you've done things that are wantonly reckless, related to whatever happened, maybe somebody drowns in your swimming pool or something like that, they're going to sue you to not have to pay. And that's exactly what's happening. The Cincinnati Insurance Company, according to a report in the Houston Chronicle, sought relief this week in U.S. District Court, arguing it doesn't have to defend the Electric Reliability Council of Texas because it does not view the power outages as an accident defined by the insurer as a, quote, fortuitous, unexpected, and unintended event. Remember what I tell you, words mean things? As a result, the company said it has no obligation under its insurance policy to cover ERCOT, which faces a flood of lawsuits over the winter storm. Quote, the allegations in the underlying lawsuits allege ERCOT either knew, should have known, expected, and or intended that Winter Storm Uri, I hate these name storms, would cause the same power outages which occurred as a result of previous storms in Texas, including storms in 1989 and 2011, the insurer said in documents. They went on to say the underlying lawsuits allege the power outages caused by the winter storm were a result of the exact same failures, including failures of the same generators which failed in the previous winter storms, and therefore the power outages were foreseeable, expected, and or intended, end quote. Of course, there's a barrage of lawsuits filed against ERCOT. The policy there is effective with Cincinnati Insurance until June 2022. It says the insurer, quote, will pay those sums that the insured becomes legally obligated to pay as damages because of bodily injury or property damage to which this insurance applies. We will have the right and duty to defend the insured against any suit seeking those damages. But the policy also says Cincinnati Insurance has no duty to defend ERCOT in cases in which the insurance policy does not apply and retains the discretion to investigate any occurrence and settle any claim or lawsuit resulting from it. The insurer defines occurrence as an accident, including continuous or repeated exposure to substantially the same general harmful conditions. Their filing, of course, comes less than a month after the Supreme Court refused to rule on whether ERCOT is a government agency or not, whether it has sovereign immunity or not. Supreme Court can still decide that immunity as appeals from this Panda Power case come through the legal system. That was the other ruling. It wasn't about the winter storm. It's going to be very important. But the insurance company doing what big insurance companies do often. They go straight to court and sue not to have to cover the charges. Particularly, a lot of times you find it'll be in a case where they went and did the first person they investigate is their own customer, the insured. You need to learn this stuff. It's important. And if they find that you were reckless, you weren't living up to, you know, even just basic normal standards of duty and care, they're going to sue to get out from underpaying. Meanwhile, you got Senator Cornyn and that crazy Eddie Bernice Johnson, Democrat leftist in Dallas, teaming up on a bipartisan bill. Cornyn saying there's no red team and no blue team. There's only Team Texas. What a bunch of malarkey. It would authorize $500 million of taxpayers' money and federal money and seed money to be made for winterization in Texas. It'd have to go through state grants. The states would have to match the grants. And you know, he thinks this is great. Why should other people be responsible for this? Why should Texas taxpayers have to pay for stupid stuff in California? And why should people from the other 49 have to pay for the mess up in Texas? But here's the real lesson in this. The efforts are modeled after the Weatherization Assistance Program, which was designed in 1976 to help low-income families increase energy efficiency in their homes to reduce power bills. You see how this stuff stays out there forever and becomes a precedent and model for abuse after abuse? Oh, come on, John Cornyn. Compelling people in other states that had nothing to do with Texas' own intrastate grid is immoral. It's just like subsidizing hotels with other people's money or whatever. Oh, everybody wants it. Oh, yeah, that'll be good for us. So what? It's wrong. There's right and wrong in this world, and that's wrong. And it's also wrong on some sort of way you could eventually prove to team up with Eddie Bernice Johnson on anything. Back in a moment.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Visit RaiderRedMeats.com to see specials and promotions on the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb. Not only do we beef up with Raider Red Meats, Isabel and I love their sausage, especially that with the cheese and hatch green chili in it, and their spicy barbecue sauce has become my favorite. Some Raider Red Meats products available in select United supermarkets. Ask at the meat counter. Raider Red Meats does sell the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb. Learn more at RaiderRedMeats.com or visit their Texas Tech campus store in Lubbock, where we shop.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, friends and neighbors. Let me get our weekly Baker Hughes Rotary rig count out of the way. Then we're going to dive into a big legislative stack and probably going to do extra time, one of the beauties of this format. It's time, a lot of stuff you need to know that's going on in the legislature. The rig count's out today. The U.S. rig count only went up by two, even though prices have been fairly stable on oil and gas. The Texas rig count was unchanged at 209. Now, there were moves out there, but the Permian did not add a rig at all this week. So it was kind of odd there. There was a good piece by Paul Takahashi at Fuel Fix, which is owned by Hearst and the Houston Chronicle. Hydraulic fracturing, or as we call it, fracking activity in North America has nearly recovered to pre-pandemic levels, but flaring of the gases that escape, remain historically low. They've been under a lot of pressure for that, and the oil company said, yeah, we'll get a handle on it, and they're doing it without the heavy, heavy hand of government that the Democrats have suggested. Number of new hydraulic fracturing jobs this month hit a 12-month high of 1,064 wells in March. That's kind of interesting. And the Norwegian research firm that follows this said Permian Basin's largely recovered from the February winter storm. Permian was hit disproportionately by the winter crisis in February, and activity in the region grew significantly in March, said Rystad, that company that does this research. The basin is set for production growth already in the second quarter. They warned that shale production could slow later in the year as OPEC ramps up production. West Texas Intermediate crude fell early Friday by 25 cents, but it's still, $59, still in the $60 level at that point. Now, let us, my friends, move under the Pink Dome in Austin. You got the west side of the Capitol where the House meets. You got the east side of the Capitol where the Senate meets. They both have different rules. And one of the important things to understand is that these people get away with lying to you. I've been covering this forever and ever, telling you, oh, we worked real hard on that, oh, blah, blah, blah. What they do is they use the process to kill bills. And that's not in and of itself immoral or wrong. Using a process is what you do in anybody. What is so wrong that we object to is when they lie to us. And they've been doing it my whole life. That's why I had to discover how all this stuff worked. They'd come up and say, well, you know, we worked real hard on this and blah, blah. Then you find out, no, they had a buddy on the calendars committee kill it, to put it at the very end of a long line of things so it would never get a vote. This is what they do. And then they say, but we're for it. Boy, we were for it. I was a co-sponsor. Well, you need to know what's going on. And every year, used to be only me talking about this. Now we have the Texas scorecard. They've picked up the mantle, and they're very good at it. Jeremy Kitchen wrote a really good piece today at TexasScorecard.com. Important legislative deadlines draw near. Go to TexasScorecard.com. You can reach it through the Pride on Texas site. So there, got a little button over there. And you can have these written down. With 52 days left in the 87th session, many lawmakers are beginning to feel increasing pressure of self-imposed deadlines. Though the end of the 140-day session is not till 31 May, lawmakers now approaching the time when specific dates and rules begin to prevent them from considering additional bills in the last weeks of the session. So the session's for the biblical 140 days, but significantly fewer of those days can actually be used to consider proposed laws in both the House and Senate. And even types of bills, it gets kind of a funnel type deal. For instance, the week of May 11th through 14th, May 11th through 14th coming up soon, represents deadlines when the House begins to officially pivot away from considering House bills and moves toward only considering Senate bills that have been passed out of that chamber. A little more than a week later represents deadlines when the House can no longer consider Senate bills, leaving them a final few days to consider conference committee reports and recommendations as they debate or accept the agreed-upon differences between bills that have made it through both chambers. Starting April 9th, April 9th, any bill that is sent to the House Calendars Committee, which, by the way, is chaired by Representative Dustin Burroughs, I believe, this year, has the potential to ultimately die there due to a House rule allowing for a bill to not be considered for up to 30 days. This rule has been effectively employed by the legislative leadership in the past to ensure certain bills never make it to the House floor for debate and a vote. And due to the operations of the committee itself, this House Calendars Committee is a star chamber almost. I mean, it's no openness, no transparency. It's really bad, and it's something that needs great reform. The rule makes it very difficult for observers to directly pinpoint a particular member as the reason the proposed laws were never considered. They basically get to blackball stuff in secret. Another rule allows the House Calendars Committee to set the calendar order. This is another one where they lie to you. Oh, we were all for that. No. They set the calendar order that proposed laws are considered in the overall House. This power becomes more effective in the last few weeks of the session as they unfold because the posted calendars get considerably lengthy and lawmakers cannot get to every item. The last day the Calendars Committee posts a calendar of House bills and House joint resolutions is 11 May. While the last day for the House to consider House bills and House joint resolutions on second reading is May 13th. Historically, in the days leading up to those deadlines, the House never completely gets through their normal daily calendars, causing a backlog of proposed laws. On top of that, controversial bills that House leadership might be more reluctant to actually bring up, you know, some of these are ones they tell you they're for, but then they kill them. They get voted out of the Calendars Committee, set on a calendar, but then purposely set late in the day to de facto kill those bills because of time instead of pinning the ultimate blame on a particular legislator. So dates you ought to be concerned with right now, May 10th, the last day for the House Committee to pass out House bills and House joint resolutions. May 13th, the last day for the House to consider House bills and House joint resolutions on a second reading. And May 31st, of course, is sine die when it ends. They'll debate stuff. They'll tell you, oh, we were for it. Look, we put it on the calendar. But they structured it in such a way, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure it dies. And this is one of the great lessons that these people did. Let me tell you, when I started explaining this stuff to the public, the bad people down there were furious. Now, a lot of legislators were happy because they, you know, they're honest about it. But a lot of them aren't. A lot of them that really parade around as conservatives but really don't back a conservative agenda. They're just horse traders. I want my pork for my district, and you'll get your pork like Ken King in his special events fund from the state. These people don't like the truth being known because they love to come home and say, see, I was a joint sponsor of that really good pro-gun bill or that good freedom bill or that limited government bill or whatever. And they actually do all that knowing it's not going to get heard. They have deals with people. And they lie to you. And they don't want you to know. This is like Senator Seliger throwing the fit in his op-ed that time in the Midland paper years back, that he was infuriated that Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, when it was very new, sent mailers to the district telling and sent materials in the district, emails telling people exactly the things he voted on. And he said, nobody has a right to come to my district, tell people what I'm doing. It's just crazy. They're dishonest. So you need to know how that part works. Now, there was a big to-do on appeals courts in Texas that was sort of an under-the-radar thing that looks like it's now been sunk, and very few were paying attention to it. I'm going to get into that in the next segment because it's very important. But the news today, breaking news today, this afternoon, is that it looks like that's going to be withdrawn. Some other things that happened that the Senate did pass pandemic civil liability protections for businesses in Texas. This is very important stuff. Daniel Friend at thetexan.news writing about it says 29-1 vote, Senate passed SB6, which if approved by the House, would provide civil liability protections for businesses that operated during the pandemic since the statewide disaster declaration was first declared in March of 2020. But it ended up having a little intra-party dispute with the Texas GOP chairman, Alan West, and being against it for some reasons, and Senator Bob Hall, a strong conservative, being against it. More in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
It gets blistering hot and shivering cold on the high ground of Texas. We know how important is reliable heating and air conditioning, and so does the family at Hart Heating and AC. It's dry and dusty too, and Hart Heating and AC are experts at improving your comfort with whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and a host of services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. HART HeatingandAC.com, serving the entire Lubbock region. License DACLA 1229 OE.
Gotta stop before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Now that the cold is gone and warm weather is here, it's a perfect time for termites and pests of all kinds to come out. Stop them before they multiply. Call Gafford, your total pest control specialists.
You gotta stop before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
At Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse, you'll enjoy the highest quality meats, with chicken being all natural and hormone-free. The same for the exclusive Meyer Natural Angus beef, as well as Snake River Farms American Kobe-style beef. Fish is flown in fresh 3 times per week, and premium produce is sourced from top growers with field-to-kitchen traceability and rigorous monitoring at all 5 stages of production to ensure quality. Enjoy authentic, fresh, superbly delicious meat and seafood at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse. Make your time on the lake or pond the best it can be with an Elite Custom Boat Dock from EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the coolest, most fun, and functional boat docks around. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and even diving spot on your boat or even jet ski dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Make your time count with the best boat dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
So, the Senate and the Texas Senate passed this pandemic civil liability protections for businesses bill. Daniel Friend at thetexan.news did the best job writing this up where it's the most clear. The bill, SB6, allows Texans, here's the quote from Senator Kelly Hancock, the bill's author, allows Texas to continue reopening safely and will bolster a global leading economy by giving businesses the assurance that they'll not be forced to spend their hard-earned resources fighting off frivolous lawsuits. Importantly, this legislation does not shield bad actors. This is not an immunity bill. He emphasized the bill aims to strike a balance between protecting businesses that operated during the pandemic while not protecting those that operated with, quote, willful and wanton neglect. Democrat Senator Roland Gutierrez, a far lefty of San Antonio, said he was going to vote against the bill but changed his mind with the understanding that some people could still be held liable, such as a local restaurant owner, for example, who knowingly permitted an employee with COVID-19 to cook food. Author Hancock, Senator Hancock, said there are 650 cases today. There will be litigation due to those people who do not follow proper protocols and did not properly take care of the health and welfare of their customers as well as their employees. Well, I share a little concern of the others, because what protocols? Every bit of government, all these so-called experts, including a lot of them who were just bureaucrats, were all giving conflicting orders. So, you know, it gets into this knowingly stuff. In fact, Senator Hall, Chairman West, Republican chairman, said SB6 and House Bill 3659 nobly endeavor to protect businesses during a pandemic, but only at the expense of surrendering essential liberties to government edicts and orders in their business operations. Right. Who's supposed to make those? Because a governor or a county judge says these are the protocols, you're supposed to follow them when a restaurateur, whatever business you're in, you know the business better than anybody else, and you know how some of this is poppycock, and you know how to do your business. Now all it does is basically this indemnity bill, in my opinion, simply means that people just become legalistic. In other words, well, we followed that, and that of the order, thus we're immune. Well, some of those orders and things and localities were ridiculous. So I kind of have problems with it too. Other Republicans were against it. Let's see, Texas Pandemic Response Act from, similar outcry was seen by West and other Republicans against the Texas Pandemic Response Act that my state rep, Dustin Burroughs, authored, which contains similar liability protections. Now, he's for proper liability protections. Don't get it wrong. It's just sometimes they don't think through this stuff, or maybe they have. Under the committee substitute of SB6 that was brought to the floor in the Senate, a person or business would not be liable for injury or death caused by exposing an individual to a pandemic disease during a pandemic emergency unless those filing the lawsuit can establish several things. First, a claimant would need to establish that the person who exposed the individual to the disease had knowledge and control over a condition that would likely result in exposure and failed to warn the individual. Alternatively, if the claimant could establish that the person who exposed the individual, quote, failed to comply with government promulgated standards, guidance, or protocols intended to lower the likelihood of exposure, end quote, as long as the person had a reasonable opportunity to implement those standards and refused to comply with them, and as long as those standards did not conflict with other standards the person did comply with. It's a lot of stuff like that. Second, the claimant would also have to establish that reliable scientific evidence, that's in quotes, reliable scientific evidence, demonstrates that the failure to warn the exposed person or comply with the government standards, quote, was the cause, in fact, of the individual contracting the disease. These are things that are hard to prove, and I'm not sure this is much of an indemnity, because I think it just moves the arguments up front in the case. Senator Hall expressed concern, saying that the law would require a business or individual to jump through hoops to prevent liability they would, apart from this bill, not have. I think there's some truth in that. I think it sort of sets the backwards precedence that, okay, now, even if these orders are questionable in their legal sense, you got to follow them. Even if they're absurd in your condition, in your situation, you've got to follow them, because otherwise, if you don't, it actually opens you up to liability you might not have had before. I think that's a legitimate concern. And it's the kind of thing we often see when you got to do something and you got to rush it through and everybody doesn't want to sit back and think about it. But we do need indemnity standards, because it's an issue. We just need good ones. And I thought that Hall's amendment was better. His amendment simply stated, a person is not liable for injury or death caused by exposing an individual to a pandemic disease during a pandemic emergency unless the claimant established that the person intentionally exposed the individual to the disease. I think that is a much more sound thing to argue legally. Was it his intent to expose you? You know, the way the bill's written, it's a likelihood and all these other things, and I'm not sure about it. I think Senator Hall was the clearer thinker in this. Democrat Senator West, at his request, Hall said he would be willing to modify the amendment to use the word knowingly in place of intentionally. Okay, I still think that's stronger. But the amendment was tabled by Hancock, who said that would be blanket immunity. No, it wouldn't. It would be much more clear that, look, unless somebody knowingly put you in danger, then they're not liable. And I think that's a better standard than all this. Do they follow all these crazy, constantly changing? You've got to have the sense to realize, Senator Hancock, that these rules were different at city levels, at county levels, state levels, and even from the governor. They were constantly changing. How do you operate in a business environment that way? Hell, he makes another promulgation, or your county judge does, in the middle of the afternoon. What do? Shut the shift down at the Toyota plant in Barrow County? Because, and tell everybody just to freeze? You can't even walk. Don't even go to the bathroom. You got to freeze because we got to get lawyers on this and see what changed because, you know, an hour later that can make us liable. I think Hall's amendment was smarter, frankly. And Hancock had to do that. We have no desire to protect those people who are not following health and safety guidelines. The problem, Kelly, is these weren't any kind of real guidelines, and they were ever changing, and they were based on a bunch of media panic. So Hancock introduced an amendment that was adopted without objection to clarify that businesses would be protected even if, quote, at that time the guideline was to conduct business in a normal fashion without restrictions. Okay, that's without restrictions. That doesn't encapsulate it within the boundaries of the ever-changing guidelines that were there with restrictions. You got a restaurant full of people, in the middle of the day they change the rules? I don't know. It just seems crazy to me. And they go into some of this stuff. And, of course, the typical haughtiness. My guess is Alan West never saw the amendment that was going to be offered and has a lack of knowledge of all this. I think these people forget when they get real proud of themselves. I don't care if it's on the Senate or the House side, that they have a history of passing bills. All legislatures do, that have a hell of a lot of unintended consequences that enterprising trial lawyers and, you know, plaintiffs bar lawyers and a lot of other people sniff out and then use, and it becomes a nightmare. Then what do we have to do? A special session, or we have to come back the next 2 years and tighten it up? We've been tightening stuff up for years. We're always tightening things up because they got it wrong. It is much better to simply have a blanket immunity that says, look, unless somebody intentionally or knowingly did something there that reasonable person would lead to believe, you know, infected somebody or exposed them to infection, they're not liable for anything because they're not acting in bad faith. In tying it all to following all these protocols were worthless in many cases, absolutely worthless. For example, sanitizing everything. What did the CDC say this week? Oh, we got to back away from that. That just doesn't seem to be that big of a deal anymore, blah, blah, blah. Well, Robert, we didn't know. Yes, we knew. There are a lot of people who knew a lot of these things. There are a lot of us who knew all about mask efficacy against viruses and things before these people ever even thought about any of this. So I'm not sure Hancock's bill's good, and I'm not sure that Burroughs' bill is good. I think we do need some immunity there, but they better be darn careful that the unintended consequences aren't worse than the disease itself. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about incorporating a shipping container into a new barn or shop like the one we have here at Campbell Containers? Or maybe you just need some extra storage space at your home, farm, or deer lease. Stop by Campbell Containers and look at our inventory. We're on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde at the exit 297. Or give me a call, 325-518-3309. Or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
Need help getting customers to find your business online? Need a social media marketing plan that gets executed on time? Jamully Media, a West Texas-based specialist, can help. JEMULLY.com. Jamully creates fabulous websites. They live to tell your story online. Jamully helps with Google advertising, SEO, blogging, and much more. Get in touch with them. Jamully.com. Jamully Media helps customers find your business online. Deal with proven local specialists. Learn more at Jamully.com.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4tx.com. God bless you. God bless the unborn. And please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
If you're listening in New Mexico, don't worry. We know you're a closet Texan at heart. Talking Texas and more. It's Pratt on Texas.
Well, my friends, one of the beauties of the podcast, we're now in extra time. There's more out of the legislature we need to cover and cover now, and we're going to do it. GOP pushed overall Texas appeals court districts on back burner for now in face of opposition. This is this afternoon, Robert Garrett reporting. Almost no one was talking about this. That Obama advocacy group, Texas Signal, had a story about it, saying that chief justices and a whole bunch of people spoke out against Senate Bill 11 and Senate Bill 1529. What it is, the bills would just change the composition of our appeals court system and drop it down to 7 appeals court districts instead of 14. The Democrats are pointing out the way they're merged, it basically would give Republicans even more dominance over the state judiciary. That's a good part of the bill, and there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing immoral about that. That's just pure politics the majority party works on. But there were some real problems with this. Some chief justices, of course, were all upset, mainly because they probably wouldn't be chief justices of anything anymore when it shrunk down. But my own friend, Chief Justice of the 7th Court of Appeals, Brian Quinn, spoke. He said, and he talked about some really interesting things that apparently the bill sponsor did not maybe think out. Senator Joan Huffman, who's been working on this for a while, because Brian Quinn's a conservative. He wouldn't be there arguing about not, you know, afraid of losing the job or whatever. But, and I don't know that the bill got rid of the justices. I think it just put them all under a lot fewer districts in the state. But Quinn said, Chief Justice Quinn of the 7th Court of Appeals said, the bill doesn't address the effect of conflicting opinions on a case. Quote, being a judge in a transferee court, we are confronted with what law do we apply if this court says this, we'd like some certainty. Now, that's a serious issue. So apparently there were a lot of problems with this. Texas lawsuit reform said it would be good. They were for the bill, saying that we have 14 appellate courts in California, a much bigger state, only has 5. We have more courts than federal courts, more appellate. That's okay. That's a real problem in our country right now. It's the people don't have access to justice very well in the federal courts. And boy, if you have to go on appeal, it takes forever. So I'm not necessarily for this, and I don't know that it would save any money. But what happened was that today, Senator Huffman made a decision, sent a letter to colleagues saying she would not press forward with her plan to consolidate the courts of appeals, the 14 into 7. But, of course, some are still worried that she and Lieutenant Governor Patrick might resuscitate the bill in a special legislative session on redistricting this fall. She did not respond immediately to questions about whether she will revive the bill before the 2023 session or whether she still plans on doing it in a separate bill. But the fact is, it was middle-of-the-road Republicans and a lot of rural Republicans that were against this, and it just, this was something they'd kind of worked on in quiet for a long time, but it's clear they did not work with key known conservatives, for example, like Brian Quinn, to make sure that the bill covered all the bases. So it probably needed to be stopped. It's much like what I was speaking about before on that indemnity bill under the COVID stuff. You got to think through this stuff, and you can't just let Senate staffers do all the bill writing. You need to be running this stuff, running it by the people who are engaged in it and who understand and who can bring up arguments. That's what we call briefing something out. You sit around and you argue all sides to it over and over with different perspectives, because this would be a big, big change in the Texas judicial system. Representative Phil King has laid out a bill to keep outside cash from influencing how Texas elections are run. This is to get rid of the what do they call them? What's that guy at Facebook? Something Bucks, Zucker Bucks, yeah, Zuck Bucks. Anyway, they did get this bill laid out in committee that Phil King, he said, it's a new phenomenon I think should be very disturbing to everyone. And it's true. Government funds ought to be used that are appropriated by the people's elected officials. You shouldn't have outside parties, no matter what side of the aisle they come from, like Zuckerberg with $36 million, giving it to elections officials in key counties to let them do a whole bunch of stuff to turn out. Most of it went to Democrat areas where they could turn out more Democrats to win an election. But even beyond just the politics of it, it's really nasty. King said Denton County declined to accept the private money to avoid even the appearance of undue influence and because, quote, elections must be fair and equal. Elections director for the state, Keith Ingram, testified the Secretary of State's office turned down Zuck Bucks. Quote, we never for a moment considered taking one of those grants. We didn't want the appearance of impropriety, and that's exactly right. Robert Green with Travis County Republican Party said King's bill deserves complete bipartisan support because the potential for manipulation and undue influence. And remember, lefties, that can come from people on the right, too. King said it doesn't matter where the money comes from. Using private cash to administer Texas elections bypasses transparency and accountability and opens the door to outside influence. It's just bad for the elections process, and a lot of other states are looking at banning this, too. It's another one of these instances where, oh, and it would still allow things like food and $1,000, up to $1,000 from some group or another if the commissioners in the county approved it. But, you know, this is the kind of thing we didn't worry about because we didn't have a law saying you couldn't do it because it wasn't ever prescribed by law. And we didn't anticipate, again, not anticipating what people who are willful and don't care about keeping things normal and proper would do, like drive-through voting and 24-hour early voting in Harris County. Nobody thought, well, golly, somebody's going to walk in here and give them a lot of money. And by the way, they didn't use, a lot of that money was not used for better facilities, for early voting and things that help voting. What it was ended up being used for was so-called public interest advertising campaigns, which were, as you would expect, run in Democrat neighborhoods and in languages of groups other than English to try to turn out more voters. And that's unfair. That's the government being an actor trying to turn out one particular set of voters over another. You know, based on statistics, the propensity of that group to vote one way or another. The National Federation of Independent Business Texas is asking you to talk to your, and I am too, talk to your legislators on Senate Bill 14. This is the incredibly important bill that makes it unlawful for Texas municipalities to regulate private employment practices like hiring, scheduling, benefits, and wages. This is where you got the liberal cities trying to put in their own minimum wages and have rules that you got to have X number of homosexuals on the staff or this, that, or the other, or, you know, people that wear bird feathers in their hair. And you just get a hodgepodge of problems and compliance issues. All you do is end up creating an industry for large businesses that can monitor the compliance from one jurisdiction to another. This is a state issue. It's being used to destroy business by the left in these leftist cities. So they're asking you to contact your legislators now and tell them, particularly your senators, in urging them to vote yes on Senate Bill 14 that stops cities from trying to regulate private employment practices like hiring, scheduling, benefits, and wages. Senate Democrats support conservative-backed Texas bill requiring pro sports teams with state contracts to play the national anthem. This is one of the Lieutenant Governor's odd emergency or priority items, the Star-Spangled Banner Protection Act carried by Senator Buckingham. And it went to 10 of the 13 Democrats voted in favor of this thing, so that Lieutenant Governor's glad because it got out, got voted on. We'll see if the House even touches it. Now, there is a bill blocking the governor from shutting down houses of worship during disasters. That got an early okay in the Texas House. Texas House, who's reporting? No, Nicole Cobbler, the Statesman. Texas House granted preliminary approval, 117-29, of a measure that would prohibit the governor from closing houses of worship even during disasters like the pandemic. Senate approved their bill of that, the identical bill back in March. Measure is one of Lieutenant Governor Patrick's priorities for the session. Now, Representative John Turner in Dallas, he wanted to narrow the bill, Democrat, because of defining a house of worship. I want to share that little argument with you in a moment when we return with more in Extra Time Overtime on Pratt on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, "I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it," Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Here we are back in Pratt on Texas Overtime, and don't kid yourself, I could go hours. I've got enough in my stack. I'm just getting to the stuff that's happening in the last few days as the time compresses in the legislature. This will be the last segment of Pratt on Texas Overtime or Extra Time. Reading from this Statesman account by a cobbler on the bill to stop government from shutting down religious worship. Representative John Turner, Democrat Dallas, proposed narrowing the bill by defining a house of worship using the definition in the state's tax code. Turner argued the bill defines houses of worship as the bill he claims makes a house of worship the entire planet, essentially, and could possibly qualify concert venues that play worship music, schools that host religious services, religious bookstores, and more. Good! Because that's all worship. If you support this idea of religious liberty, you shouldn't allow just anybody to call themselves a church, or you shouldn't inadvertently extend this to a wide range of other facilities. Why not? Steve Toth of the Woodlands argued that church members should be able to branch out from their churches and start their own religious groups, which often meet in homes. He said most churches don't start in predominantly known houses of worship. Boy, that's true. These are communities that help countless people. Government can't do everything and shouldn't do everything. The church needs to be more responsible for helping those that would help themselves. They don't need to be closed down. And of course, Austin health officials have expressed concern over the bill. Dr. Mark Escott, the interim Austin Travis County Health Authority, said in-person church services can spread COVID. So, can spread flu, can spread any kind of stuff that we normally have that have similar rates of mortality rates. They're just anti-church. Now, this was interesting to me. KWTX reported that State Rep. Matt Krause of Fort Worth, good Republican, said police should inform members of the public when they're recording them. For example, at a traffic stop or during any other business. He has a bill, House Bill 1757, would require police to make that announcement unless it would be unsafe, unrealistic, or impracticable, or if the interaction was part of an ongoing criminal investigation. It would also make it a third-degree felony for a police officer or another law enforcement employee to alter, destroy, or conceal an audio or video recording of an officer performing their official duties. I agree with that. I just think we need more transparency. You know, last session, conservatives were the ones fighting. We're the ones fighting for real civil liberties. It was conservatives fighting for. We didn't get it. But that these consent to search your vehicle type deals be in writing, that they be signed by somebody, because they all claim it. I've heard justices, you know, judges and justices tell us, oh, every single one of these cases, they come in and say, oh, no, they gave consent to search. And I said, the judge, you know they're lying even when the police officer's on the stand or the DPS trooper. It's a sad situation. You know they're lying because you're talking about drug mules that have lawyers on speed dial and are actually highly paid and have been through all the training on the rules. I know some people don't care. Oh, well, that's okay. We catch bad people. Yeah, but it means they can lie about you too. Well, I'm not going to have anything to hide. Really? So you picked your kids up and their friends, and one of your friends dropped a little baggie of something out of his pocket, and it went between the seats in the back seat of the car. You never knew anything about it. Who the hell do you think is going to get arrested on drug charges? And then you're going to lose your job and lose everything. Unless they have a warrant, they don't have any business searching, and it ought to be expressed. And I'm not opposed to this as long as, like he says, it doesn't get in the way of emergency things. Telling people they're being recorded might make people act a little better, too, to the cop. Just saying. Legislature considers bills to require patriotic curriculum. Iris Poole at the Scorecard had a good version of this, and Isaiah Mitchell at the Texan.news had a much larger in-depth story on it. Texas Senate Education Committee hears bills to cultivate informed patriotism and working with that to slim down teacher training. And I think that's a good one, too. The slimming down teacher training was interesting because it says, Senator West put forth a bill to shift mandatory teacher training away from certain technology or diversity requirements and toward training to, quote, hone their craft. Senate Bill 1267 was born out of an effort to streamline educator training requirements. It was a vision of a work group of educators and school leader advocacy groups, policy organizations, and others established by the lieutenant governor that met over the course of 9 months over the interim to establish a slimmer, more meaningful set of requirements. I think Senator West is right. This is a good training and it ought to be done. And the informed patriotism stuff is Senator Larry Taylor's bill. It requires students to engage with America's founding documents to increase students' knowledge of their country's and state's deepest and noblest purposes and enhance students' intellectual independence. President Reagan called for an informed patriotism. He warned of eradication of the American memory that could result in an erosion of the American spirit, Taylor said. Well, boy, he was prescient, wasn't he? Reagan, he was right. Of surveys that have been done, 37% of native-born Texans cannot pass the U.S. citizenship test. You know, that's only a 10-question test, and you only have to get 6 right. Bill would require the State Board of Education to adopt an understanding of the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and Federalist Papers, de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, the first Lincoln-Douglas debate, and the writings of the Founding Fathers into the Texas Essential Knowledges and Skills. Knowledge and Skills, Tex. I agree with that. Senator West agreed that we ought to do this stuff. He said, but what are we doing? What have we been doing in our school now? Well, Senator West, we haven't been doing that. We've been teaching your parties everything's terrible and that the country was all about slavery, BS. Taylor said the bill would tether the informed patriotism requirements to the STAR test because, of course, the STAR follows the TEKS, the T-E-K-S. The proposal earned praise from both the left and right, with representatives from the Texas Public Policy Foundation and Children's Defense Fund Texas voicing their support. Senators Charles Perry of Lubbock and Angela Paxton of Allen said they'd like to see similar requirements in higher education. Boy, I'm with them in these state institutions. I am with them. That needs to be done. So maybe we'll get that out of the Senate. The odds are, though, a lot of this good stuff dies in the House. Asher Price at The Statesman has a piece I referred to earlier in the week. State legislators weigh lighter penalties for marijuana possession. There's a passel of bills covering this. Some include things like eliminating arrest altogether, preventing loss of driver's license, lowering the... Why? It impairs you. It's just like it's an intoxication. Oh, but it's okay. See, you can't smoke tobacco, can't have a cigar, can't do anything. Oh, no. But pot, we want everybody to be smoking pot. We want to take the penalties away, even if you drive. Lower the penalty to Class C misdemeanor, open the way to expungement of criminal record, lowering the penalties for possession of marijuana concentrates, which can be used cooking marijuana brownies. What is the focus on all of this? Why is this such a big deal? Have we suddenly become so... so respectable as a culture and really seen a great awakening and begun to behave better now that DWIs are down and people aren't ruining their lives on alcohol. I'm not wanting prohibitions. I'm just saying we've not gotten rid of any of the other social costs of bad behavior that individuals make. And we just want to open this up more? It's shocking to me. And yet this is gaining appeal with all people, including the Republicans. Well, my friends, there's a lot more we can handle. But I just wanted to get the key things that are really important, Bills, and get you those deadlines that are coming up to you in this extra part of Pratt on Texas today. Again, go to the website. Many people have been asking me questions about apps and streaming for the show returning to the airwaves on the 19th of April in both the Lubbock and Abilene market. And by the way, we've had contacts from a lot of other places. I haven't had time to talk to them. It's just, you know, there's only so much I can do, and I didn't want to stop doing a show for 2 months. So we've been busy every day. But go to the affiliates site. It's there at prattontexas.com up at the top. On the very top navigation bar, it's up at the very top where it says home, the next station over, it's radio station affiliates and then podcasts where you can go to listen to the show and all the others. But go to radio station affiliates. That's where you'll find the links for apps and for streaming for when the show returns to the air on the 19th of April. Praise be to God. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.